Namaste. Thank you for coming here this Friday evening. So today we will continue with our discussion from the last session, titled "When Bad Thing Happen to Good People." So before we continue, we'll start with the invocation prayers. So if you want to recite with me or.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavidanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratushe Namaha Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhaktashaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Okay, so once again, welcome to our regular Bhakti Riksha Satsang program. So last time we started discussion on this topic, when bad things happen to good people, or vice versa, when sometime good thing happened to seemingly bad people. So what is the whole logical explanation, logical understanding behind that? So to begin with, I will just do a quick recap what we discussed, what are the points we discussed. So we started with the topics of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita has five major topics which Krishna described to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. The five topics are Ishvara, Jiva, Prakriti, Kala and Karma. So these are the five major themes which are covered in Bhagavad Gita. So we have already discussed Ishvara, who is the supreme controller, who is the supreme lord, and Jiva, who we are, what is our real position, our real identity, not as this body but as a spirit soul which is eternal. And then last session, we build up on the topic of Prakriti, the material nature. What is this whole material nature around us? What is the purpose of this creation? Why we are here in this material world? So we discussed that, and then briefly we discussed about Kal, the time factor. So when anything bad happens, the immediate question comes, oh, why this bad is happening? Why God is allowing people to suffer? If He is an all-loving Father and we are all His children, what kind of father will allow His children to suffer? So why is there suffering? Because the fundamental misunderstanding. We think this material world, this whole creation is for our enjoyment. And if this is for our enjoyment, and when we see the suffering, then immediately this retaliation comes. Why there is suffering? Why God allows suffering? So we discussed in the last session, the purpose of this creation is not for our enjoyment. The purpose of the whole creation is, it's like a correction center. It's like a prison house. So in the prison house, if somebody is sent to jail, the purpose of somebody to send somebody to jail is to correct that person, so that he correct his mistakes and then he becomes eligible again to come and live in the normal world. So this whole creation, when we retaliated, we wanted ourselves to be the center of enjoyment. There was envy in the heart, so we are sent into this material world. So this material world is not a place of enjoyment, but as a place for a correction center. In the prison house, there are different grades of cells, right? There are some A class cell, B class cell, C class cell. A class cell is where high dignitary persons are kept, maybe some business person or some politician who are kept in a high class cell, and they are given all the basic facilities, higher facilities. In the prison house, there are basic facilities for everybody. They are the prisoner, the criminal is provided for the food, the basic clothing and basic place to sleep and all. So the basic necessities are provided, and based on the different grades of cell, there are higher facilities or lower facilities. And within the prison house, maybe there are another extreme torture centers, right, where people are taken. If they don't behave properly within the prison house also, they are taken to other torture centers, torture rooms, where they are given maybe a third degree or something. So like that, within this material world, there are different grades of living entity. We are given different dresses. When we come to this material world has 8.4 million species of life. 8.4 million species of life are like 8.4 million dresses which are available for the living entity to pick any dress based on our desire, how we want to act. So the example which I gave last time was, if somebody want to go dive into the ocean, we cannot go in this clothing and dive in the ocean. What will you do? You put on a diving suit so that you can stay longer into the deep water. So there is a diving suit which has some fins and all, maybe some tube going in the mouth so person can keep breathing for a long time. Same way, if somebody want to go to the space, right, on space travel, somebody is going on a Mars mission or a moon mission, what do? They put on space suit. So the space suit gives eligibility or environment where person can live in the space environment for longer time. So same way, when we come to this material world, to stay within this material world, which is comprised of the three modes of material nature, we are given an appropriate dress. And that dress is like the 8.4 million species of life. It could be animal, bird, tree, plant, aquatic, beast, bird, worm, and a human. So there are all different varieties of dresses available. So sometime when there is a suffering, people think, yes, God is all powerful. Nobody denies that. Yes, God is all powerful. God can do everything. He can do anything. But sometime, somehow, people think maybe God does not have enough intelligence. So God is all powerful, but he doesn't have intelligence. He doesn't know what is good for me. He doesn't know I'm suffering, and if I have this thing, then I will be happy. So he doesn't have intelligence. He should use my intelligence. Let me tell God what is good for me. And then God should use his power to make all that arrangement. But God knows what is best for us and what is best needed for us to correct us. Now I will ask one question to everybody. Is pain bad? Is suffering bad? Is pain bad? Yes? Now I will give you another analogy. You will say, no, pain is not bad. It's required. So for example, if there is a big thorn stuck in your foot and there is no sensation of pain, is that good or bad? So if there is no pain, that's bad now, right? Because if there is no sensation of pain, if some sharp object gets into your foot, there is no pain, so you will not feel something has gone inside your foot, so it will stay there, it will contaminate the whole foot, and you will get into a bigger problem. Maybe the whole foot has to be cut. So that's why there is a sensation of pain. at the first place. So we know, oh, something is bad, something is wrong, I should cure that. So that is the reason there is pain, there is suffering designed, so we correct ourselves at the first instance of any mistake. Otherwise, that mistake will intensify and it will lead us to a bigger problem. So pain in itself, the suffering in itself is not bad. It's for us, for our betterment, so that we can cure that problem. So now, having understood all the basic fundamentals which we discussed last time, this place is not for enjoyment, this is as a prison house, as a correction center. So one can say, oh yes, now I understand all that point. But when we see all these different things, right, so who determines which person will get what kind of suffering and how much suffering? Is that all whimsical or there is some law behind that? Do we see different varieties in this material world? Some people are born freaking rich and some person is too poor, cannot earn even his livelihood. Some person is born handsome, beautiful, and another person is born too ugly. One person is born very healthy, another person is born diseased or with some kind of health problems, disabilities. Somebody is born with a silver spoon in the mouth, has all the facilities as soon as somebody takes birth. On the other side, there's another person, as soon as he is born in a family, so as soon as somebody is born, he has maybe millions of dollars of debt. Right? He is born in a family which is in a debt. So somebody, all these various things we see in life. Now there are some things we choose in life and something which you don't have any control. Is that true? Any examples? Some things which you choose? Life partner, okay, you can choose your life partner unless parents are imposing on you. Okay, so spouse you can choose.
Parents you cannot choose.
Parents you cannot choose. You cannot say, oh, I want to be born in such and such family. I want to be born in the house of Tata Birla's. House, you can choose your house, which type of house you want to live in, 2-bedroom, 3-bedroom. When you move to US, which first apartment you got, maybe you look 3-4 different apartment complex and then you decided, okay, I want to stay in this apartment complex. So there is house you can choose, your life partner you can choose, your occupation you can choose, you want to become a doctor or an engineer or a lawyer or an accountant or whatever it is. So there are certain things you can choose, but then there are certain other things which you don't have any control, you cannot choose those. For example, Mother said parents, you cannot choose which family you want to be born. You don't have any control on your children. You want a boy or a girl or what type of child. So you don't have control on that. You want to be born rich or poor. You want to be born healthy or diseased, beautiful or ugly. Nobody has control on this. So is there a law governing all these things? So we already discussed all these. Some people are born rich, some people are born too poor, some people are born beautiful, handsome, some people are born ugly, some people are born healthy, some people are born with diseases or disabilities, some people are born with a lot of intelligence, they can become doctor or scientist or something, and some person doesn't have enough intelligence, doesn't have enough resources to study, and he ends up just doing a laborer job, right? So somebody has all the facilities from childhood, from birth, and some person is born in a family which cannot even provide a two-time meal. So why this discrimination? So now everybody understands this, coming from Indian background at least, most of us know this word karma, right? So when we hear something like this, immediately the answer goes, oh, it's because of karma. So if you go to India, even a rickshaw puller knows, oh, this is something as karma. So everybody knows karma, but very few people understand how the principles of karma work. So this karma has become a global word, right? I just mentioned last time also, there are a lot of food products which are coming with the name of karma, good karma, karma free. So there is a milk which is called good karma milk. Okay, if you go to Whole Foods, there is a milk brand which is called good karma. So karma has become a global word. Even Westerners, sometime you will hear them saying, oh, you are creating a bad karma or a good karma. But not many people understand what this karma principle is or how does this principle work. So karma, the general definition if we see is, generally it's defined as you sow, so shall you reap. Right? Whatever activities you do, you get the results accordingly. Now in another sense, now when we say why there is this discrimination, actually there is no discrimination. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that I am equal to everybody. Samoham sarva bhuteshu name dveshyati asti na priya ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya maititeshu chapyanam. So the first part of this shloka, what does Krishna say here? Samoham sarva bhuteshu, I am equal to everybody. Name dveshyati na priya, I do not envy anybody and I do not give special favor to somebody. It's not that I am partial to somebody, I make somebody suffer for no reason and I reward somebody without any reason. I am equal to everybody. So if Krishna is equal to everybody, then why there are problems in life? Why there are problems in this world? Right? The list we just discussed, then why all these things are there? It's like when a court case is going on. In the court, a judge, sometimes judge give punishment to somebody, sends him to a lifetime imprisonment. At the same time, the judge may reward the another person. Right? Somebody he may give punishment, somebody judge may give $1,000 reward. Is judge partial? So how is judge giving that different judgment? Based on what? Based on the activity the person has done. If somebody has broke the law, he is given punishment. If somebody is a good citizen, he is following everything, he may be given reward. Right? So same way, Krishna is rewarding or punishing people based on their own activity. So in general sense, so there is a rigorous punishment to somebody or compensation for somebody. So here Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, there is another very, not in Bhagavad Gita, in Bhagavatam. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, it's Kapil Dev is describing to Mother Devahuti. Kapil Dev is also another incarnation of Krishna, who is describing to Mother Devahuti, Karmana Deva Netrena Jantur Devu Papayate Istriya Pravishta Udaram Pumso Ratah Kana Ashraya. So what is it? Under the supervision of the Supreme Lord and according to the result of one's work, the living entity is entered into a mother's womb by taking shelter of father's semen. So how the living entity? So the living entity is going from one birth to another, is taking shelter in the mother's womb. How? Based on what? Under the supervision of the Supreme Lord, according to the result of his work. So it's not whimsical, it's based on a particular system. So what is this karma? Based on the result of one's work, so what is this karma? So karma is any activity which is performed by the living entity under the influence of three modes of material nature within the jurisdiction of time. That is the whole definition of karma. Any activity performed by the living entity under the influence of three modes in the jurisdiction of time. So both material nature and time, prakriti and kal, plays a role. So when we are in this material world, we are influenced by so many things. We are under the influence of three modes, passion, goodness, ignorance. And with the time factor, we keep doing on some activity or another. Sometimes we do good activity under the influence of goodness. Sometimes we do some bad activity under the influence of ignorance. So all these activities are going on, which brings in the result. So now let's look at what are the various type of karma. As in a scientific world also, there is a definition of karma or the action and reaction, Newton's third law. So what is Newton's third law? For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. So that is, Newton gave that principle. So that is actually not Newton's law. We know it as a Newton's law, but is that God's law? Right? It's the law of God. It's for every action we do, there is an equal and opposite reaction. If we do something good, there is bound to be a good reaction. If we do something bad, there is bound to be a bad reaction. So, now understanding all that, what are the different type of action? So there are, we know there is a good action and a bad action. So there is a sukarma and vikarma. So sukarma is any activity which is done based on the rules and regulation given by God. That is called sukarma, which brings in good result. And vikarma is any activity which is done whimsically by rejecting the rules and regulation. That is called vikarma, which brings in bad reaction. So sukarma and vikarma. There is another third category also, we'll discuss that later. It's called akarma. Akarma is, you do that, you are doing the activity, but it does not bring reaction. So how wonderful. So we'll discuss that later. So sukarma and vikarma. Now, so far we are discussing, so karma in itself means action and reaction. It's not just the action. So, karma means action and reaction together. So, action part we are understanding, any activity which is done, good activity, that is sukarma, bad activity, vikarma. And the intricacies of this action is very complicated. So, Krishna says, another shloka in Bhagavad Gita, which is 4.17. So, Krishna says, karmano hayapi bodhavyam, bodham vyacha vikarmana, akarmanascha bodhavyam, gahana karmano gati. So, this action and the inaction. So this karma, sukarma and vikarma and their intricacies are too hard to understand. It's very difficult to understand what is the good karma or what is the bad karma. So how does this different reaction comes in? There are some reactions. So coming to the reaction part, some reactions which come instantly. And some reaction which come after some time, little delayed. And there are some reaction which are too delayed. So if somebody is suffering, sometimes people think, oh, I have never done anything wrong in my life. Why I'm suffering? As long as I can remember, from my childhood, I have never done anything wrong. But why am I suffering? Maybe my file has, God's computer has got corrupted. My file got switched with somebody else's file. So I'm just suffering the result of somebody else's action. But sorry to say, God's computer is very powerful. There's no virus which can attack God's computer. So your file is not exchanged or not corrupted with anybody else. It's the result of our own action which we receive at a different time intervals. So there is some result which come kind of immediately. For example, if you are walking on the street and you just slap somebody, you may get the reaction immediately. That person may turn back and slap you. Right? There are some reaction which come maybe in a few hours. You go to mall, plaza, you see some nice vendors, eat nice chaat papadi. So that time you're enjoying. And next morning you get up in the morning, you think something is happening in my stomach. some uneasiness. Why is that? I did not eat anything in the morning. Why is that happening? But you ate something in the previous night, which is bringing that reaction now. So there is some action, result come immediately. Some reaction, result come in few hours. There is some reaction, you have done the action, the result has not come yet. It is under the unfructified stage. Aprarabdha. So in Sanskrit, there are two terms used, prarabdha and aprarabdha. Prarabdha means which you are reaping the result right now. And aprarabdha is which has not come yet. It has not come. It has not matured yet. So some result come maybe after a few days, few months. And some result come maybe after a few years. And some result come maybe after long, long. You have done some activity in the childhood or maybe very early young age. And the result come maybe when you are old. And yet, some activities, the result may come in next life. So, if you sow a tomato plant, the fruit will come maybe in few months. Right? Maybe 2-3 months. And then if you plant a coconut tree, the fruit will come in few years, maybe 10 years. Somebody is maybe smoking, okay, somebody is a chain smoker, does a lot of smoking. And person may think, oh, I have smoked, like I did 10 cigarettes in a day. See, nothing is happening to me. It doesn't work on me. I don't get any result. But wait, result is yet to come. As the person progresses, as it continues, person get disease in terms of maybe lung disease or some other issues. So the result is coming. The reaction is a delayed reaction which is bound to come. Sometimes people think, oh, I'm suffering in a hospital, I'm getting so many disease and all that. What did I do wrong? Why I was born with a disease? Or why I was born with some disability? Sometimes you see child is born, somebody is born with no foot or no hand or somebody has some distorted face. Yes, it's a miserable situation, right? But is that whimsical or why is it happening with somebody and not with other? Because the result person is getting the reaction from some other activities which he had done maybe some other past lives. So, we need to understand this action and reaction. The reaction may not come instantly. It's not always as an instant dokla you make or instant idli. Sometimes you need to prepare and then you do the actual cooking later. So sometimes you have done the activity but the result is yet to come long after you have done the activity. So it says there's another statement in Bible also. It says the mills of God grind slowly but extremely fine. So what does this statement point to? Even though in Christianity they may not believe in the law of karma, right? But this statement points towards the law of karma. Again, the statement, as you sow, so shall you reap, also comes from Bible. So Bible also points towards the law of karma. The mills of God grind slowly but extremely fine. So it means no matter what kind of action you have done, you may escape the state law, the country law, but you cannot escape the law of God. The reaction is bound to come. It's not that somebody may commit a crime, somebody may kill 10 people and think, oh, I'm not caught, I'm not going to get the reactions. One may escape the state law, but he is not going to escape the law of God. If somebody has killed 10 people and he is caught and imprisoned for lifetime, somebody may think, oh, one person killed just one person and he is also getting life imprisonment. I killed 10 people, I also got same imprisonment, so I'm smart. I did a bigger crime, but I still got this similar reaction. But no, state may give you the same imprisonment, but based on the law of God, if somebody has killed 10 people, he has to take birth 10 times and be slaughtered 10 times. That is the law of karma. One cannot escape the law of God. And then there was a question last time when I did the same session. Somebody raised this question. So every action brings reaction. But if sometime I do the action, which is if I kill somebody for self-defense, will I get the reaction? Right? There are some action we did, which is somebody intentionally killed somebody. But if I did that action just for self-protection, will that bring the reaction? So the scriptures define, there are some cases where if somebody is doing that activity for his own protection, he is not bound to get the reaction. If somebody has killed the aggressors, so there are six type of aggressors defined in the scriptures. If somebody harms you or try to harms you, somebody try to feed you poison, or somebody try to kill you, somebody try to put the house on fire, somebody tries to kidnap somebody's wife, so there are six different scenarios mentioned. If somebody is trying to protect under these situations, and during self-defense, if somebody has killed the attacking person, that person is not bound to get the result as a reaction. There is another example. If somebody is working for army, okay, somebody is soldier, and as a duty, under the order of his commander, if somebody goes on the border and kills 100 enemies, that person is not hanged or sentenced, but that person is given reward. Sometimes people give a Paramveer Chakra or all that. So that person, even though he has killed 100 people, but he is awarded because he is doing the duty under the order of his supervisor. But the same soldier, if he comes home on vacation, now when he is on vacation at home and he gets into fight with his neighbor, takes out his gun and shoot that neighbor. Now the same army which awarded that person for killing hundreds of enemies, the same army now is going to court-martial and prison him, right, punish him, because this time he is acting by his own will. He is acting whimsically, not by the following the orders of the authority. So the intention is what makes a difference. If the intention is to whimsically harm somebody, then somebody is bound to get the reaction. But if the intention is for self-defense or by the order of the, based on our own duty, that does not bring the reaction. Another example is a doctor versus a murderer. Right? If both are using the same knife, a murderer takes the knife and goes and kills somebody. So he is bound to get the reaction. But a doctor, he is taking the same knife and he is doing an operation on the patient. His intentions are to treat that patient, but while doing all his endeavor, if the patient dies on the operation theater, is the doctor is bound to get the punishment? Based on the law of God, now there may be instances, right? The patient's family may sue doctor and they try to get a monetary benefit or try to get the doctor punished. But based on the law of God, that activity is not punishable because he is doing his duty, he is doing all his endeavor to cure that patient. But while doing his endeavor, if the patient dies, it's not his fault. So there are these different scenarios where the action and reaction business work. Now somebody suffering in this life from early age, what could be the reason? Because somebody is getting the reaction from his past life. Somebody may think, oh, I'm too talented, right? I can memorize everything. Sometimes it happens. Some child works too hard, right? Studies throughout the year, but at the final exam, he is not able to memorize anything, remember anything, and he ends up failing. And there may be another student who does not study too hard throughout the year, enjoys, just studies 2 hours or one day before the exam, and he gets very good grades. Now, why is that? Or somebody is just spending few minutes in the business office and he earns thousands of dollars. And there's another person who is doing hard work, 10 hours a day, lifting all that heavy stuff. And at the end of the day, he is able to manage only 2 times meal. So somebody may think, oh, I also have too much potential. I have the strength to do hard work. But why is not working for me? Why I'm not able to earn enough. It's based on our own karma, because we are bound with the ropes of karma. The reaction, whatever the reaction we are supposed to get, we are bound with that. For example, this is cow. The cow is tied with the rope to a pole. Now, when the cow is tied with the rope, how much distance the cow can walk? Just as the length of the rope. She can just walk in that much distance. But the same cow has the potential to walk hundreds of miles. If you let that cow free, that cow has the potential to walk anywhere. Right? The cow can go hundreds of miles. So same way, the person may have the potential to do all these different activities, but the person is bound with the rope of the karma. Because the person is bound with the rope of karma, he is bound to get a particular result in a particular quantity. No matter what the person may do, the result is determined based on the, what do you call as a destiny. And destiny is nothing but what we call as a karma principle. Right? Based on the karma principle. Now, how do we understand? Another example to understand this. Now, karma principle and the reincarnation, they go hand in hand to understand it clearly. You cannot separate the concept of life after death and the karma principle. Because if we don't understand the reincarnation principle, that there's life after death, the whole problems of this life, it becomes impossible to understand. That's the reason in Christianity or Islam, because if somebody doesn't believe in the law of karma or the law of reincarnation, the whole philosophy, why there is suffering in life, it is just a speculation. Not believing in something is not make that law disappear. If I say, oh, I do not believe in the law of karma, or the law of karma just applies on Hindus, Indian people, it does not apply on other people. Does that work like that? It's a universal law which acts on everybody, no matter if somebody believes in it or doesn't believe in it. It acts on everybody universally, like the law of gravity. Law of gravity acts on everybody. It's not based on somebody's belief or disbelief. Somebody says, I do not believe law of gravity. Law of gravity is not going to work on me. I'm going to jump from the 100th story and I do not believe in law of gravity. What will happen to that person? Will law of gravity work on him or not? It is going to work on him. Right? So same way, the law of karma, doesn't matter somebody believes in it or not. It's not the matter of somebody is from which faith. He's an Indian or a Hindu or a Christian or Islam. It is universal principle. It's not the matter of my belief. But the problem where it comes, when we don't understand this law of karma and the law of reincarnation, that is becomes a mystery to understand these problems happening in the world. To understand this law of karma, more easy way, I will give another example. So in India especially, in olden time, or right now also, people have a certain vessel to store grain. Okay, it's called silo. Either it's made of clay, big, tall vessel, or now people have a metal ones also. Everybody keeps at home. So people store grain in that. Now how does this work? Somebody, let's say first year, did a harvest, okay, of his crop. First year there is a great harvest, and the person pours all that good grains from the top, and whenever he needs, he opens the bottom cover and takes whatever he needs. So first year he had a good harvest, he put all the good grains from top, and he is getting whenever he needs. Second year the person has very bad harvest, okay, so but he pours all those bad grains also from the top, and when he opens from the bottom that lid to take the grains for his need, still the leftover quota is there from the previous year's grain, and he, even though he poured the bad grains, he is still getting good grains from the bottom. And a person who does not know the whole background, if somebody is watching this, oh, this person poured all the bad grains, and when he opens from the bottom, all the good grains are coming. Maybe this is a magical pot. But if somebody knows the history, he knows, okay, last year he had very good grains and he is still getting those leftover ones from the bottom. So that is the whole principle of karma also. Let's say in previous life, somebody did lot of good activities, lot of charitable activities, followed the principles properly. This year or this lifetime, the person may be very nasty, doing all those nonsense activities, but he is reaping the result of the activities he had done in his previous life. So he is getting the result. He is still enjoying based on the activity he has done in past. Now, same example, let's understand again. First year, let's say the person has very bad crop. So he poured all the bad grains from the top. And when he lifts up, he's getting, of course, bad grains. Next year, he has a very good crop. So he poured all the good crop, good grains from the top. Now he lifts up, he's still getting bad grains. Because it's a leftover from the previous one. So same way, in the previous lives, maybe somebody has done some nasty, some bad activities. In this lifetime, the person may be very good from the beginning. He has not done anything wrong. But his quota, his bank balance of those action and reaction, the result of his previous sinful activities are still coming. Even though he has not done anything bad in this lifetime, but he is getting the result of his previous activities. So this is the basic example to understand. Now another example to understand this life after death concept along with karma, I generally used to give another example which people can relate to. Any cricket lovers here? Nobody likes cricket? See, even that Gautam, he is lifting his hand. 7 years. So, I will just give one example to understand this whole karma and reincarnation principle. So, if this is a test match going on between India and Pakistan, first inning is already done. And when somebody comes and second inning has started or about to start, looks at the scoreboard. Pakistan 200 for 0, India 0 for 0. How come Pakistan already has 200 score? Is the scoreboard partial or somebody has made a mistake on the scoreboard? Match has not even started and this team has 200 score on their account. How is that? But if somebody understand it completely, one inning is already over. And in one first inning, maybe Pakistan has 500 total runs, India has 300. Now Pakistan has a lead of 200 at the beginning of second inning. So same way, in our lives, when we look at somebody, we say, this person is born too rich. And that person is too poor. Yes, he has a quota from the previous inning coming up. He has some pious result from previous inning. So he has the bank balance established from his previous lifetime, which is still there, and the other person has exhausted that. Right? The same way, if somebody walks into a movie hall, movie has already halfway, interval is over, next scene after interval comes, somebody comes and shoots another person. And the person who just entered into the movie hall, he thinks, this person looks so nice, why this guy killed him? Maybe that guy was killed by a police. Some police killed some bad person or terrorist or something. And this person was thinking, this person looked so nice. Why this guy just killed him whimsically? But if you have seen the whole movie, somebody will know, this person has done really some nasty things, some bad things. And that's why he got killed. So when we see some crazy things in life, how to understand that? This is the action or the reaction from our own action which is coming now. Maybe I had done something bad in the previous life which is giving me the result now. Now the question comes, a very legitimate question. Somebody may say, my slide here, want to talk about some other concept here. Let me describe this first. So same principle, how the Christianity or Islam, how do they relate to the same thing? So in Christian understanding, when we say, okay, bad things, how do they understand? What is the Christian understanding of bad things happening in life? They relate everything to called the work of Satan. What we call Shaitan, right? They use the terminology Satan. It's the work of Satan. Satan is, it's the evil, which is the competitor of God. God wants to do everything good, but there is a competitor. Sometimes he becomes more powerful than God and he wants to take over. And he brings evil. So that is their understanding. Anything bad happening in life, whatever they think is bad, okay? Whatever they think is bad, that is the work of Satan. And whatever is, they think it's good, but still something bad happened, that is the will of God. So I will give you an example. Okay, very funny. So if some natural calamity happens, and in that natural calamity, maybe a Hindu temple is destroyed. So their understanding will be, oh, that is the will of God. That's the wrath of God. Because these people are all pagans or whatever they call, right? So they are the sinners and this is the wrath of God happening on them. And same natural calamity, in the natural calamity, if a church is destroyed, what will they say? That's the work of Satan. That's the work of evil. He is in competition with God. He does not want to have people prosperity. So their understanding of anything bad happening is the work of Satan. Now let's move that concept to Islam. What is their understanding if something bad happening in life? So anything bad happening, they justify it saying it's the test of God. So now, yes, in some situation, yes, some tough situations come in our life, that is the test of God. But now every problem coming in our life, can we just relate, oh, it's test of God. So then how do you say a small child having problem in life or born with a disability or some problem, how do we justify that situation? They say, oh, it's test of God. It's not for the child. It's to have the test for the parents. But is child also not suffering? Right? So then what is the kind of test is that? So test, if there is a test, that has to be some logic based on that. You cannot give a 10th grade exam to a 5th grade student. So there is some system there. I just want to briefly touch on this. And we already discussed this. So here comes another classical example. Sometimes people say, okay, I understand there is some whatever bad is happening in life. Maybe it's my own past reaction. But why God had to wait so long? If I made a mistake in previous life or few lives back, why God did not correct me right then and there? Why I was not punished right then and there? Why it has to wait for so many lifetimes? So this same question was asked by Dhritarashtra. So this person in the picture, this is Dhritarashtra. So Dhritarashtra also had a similar situation. When all the sons of Dhritarashtra were killed in the war, so Dhritarashtra asked this question to Lord Krishna. What did I do wrong? Why this is happening with me? First of all, I was born blind. Even though I was born in a royal family, what is the use? I was born blind. And then I got 100 sons. And all those 100 sons are killed in the war. Why this is happening with me? I did not do any such bad activity in my life. Why am I suffering? So Lord Krishna said, you are talking about this lifetime, but I can know all past, present and future. Not just this life. I know all your previous lives. 50 lifetimes back, you were a son of a hunter. And in that situation, once you climbed on a tree. On the tree, there was a nest where the father, mother bird, they had laid down the eggs. So there were all the baby birds in that nest. So you climbed up on the tree with a sharp needle. You poked into the eye of a father bird and made him blind. And then you put the nest on fire. All the baby birds were burnt alive in that fire. Because you did that activity, you blinded that father bird and you killed all the baby birds, you are getting the reaction now. You are born blind for that activity. and all your sons are now killed in this war. The fire of this war. So, Dhritarashtra said, okay, I understand, I am getting the reaction. But I made the mistake, why did you did not give me the reaction right then and there in that same lifetime? Why you had to wait 50 lifetimes to give me the reaction? So Lord said, you have to come to a similar situation. Right? You, where you have that many sons, or you have that position where you were born blind. So to earn that credit, first you have to do that many pious activities to be eligible to get 100 sons. Now in all those lifetimes, you have accumulated that credit. Now you have got that, you are in that situation. Now you are reaping that result. That all your sons are killed in that war. So, there is another situation where Gandhari also asked, okay, maybe he did something in his previous lifetimes, he is suffering the result. But as long as I can see from my childhood, I am such a nice person, such a devoted person, I did not do anything wrong. Why I have to suffer? Right? We say, okay, father made a mistake, so because of father's mistake, there is some problem in family. But mother is asking, Gandhari is asking, what did I do? Why I am suffering? I did not do anything wrong in this lifetime. So again Krishna said, I can see your past lifetimes too. In your previous lifetime, you were a princess and you were too much into the tantric things. You used to have a lot of headache and you consulted a tantric. And the tantric advised to collect the earthworms. Bring the paste or make the paste of those earthworms and apply it on your forehead to get relief from your headache. For your bodily comfort, you are giving so much pain to other living entity, crushing all those earthworms and putting the paste on your head for your bodily comfort. So now, because of that, you are also getting the reaction. So Krishna's system is so wonderful. Different people have done different kind of activity and they are supposed to get different reaction. Krishna bring them all together. So in a family, a child has done his own past activity. He is suffering because of sometimes child gets sick because he has to suffer for his previous activities. And the parents, so child out of sickness, he suffers a different type of misery. And the parents also suffer, right? If there is somebody sick in the house, parents also have suffering and child also have suffering. But the level of suffering or the type of suffering is different. So it's just Krishna brings them all together. It's like with the wind, you see all the different grass leaves. So with the wind, when the wind blows, sometimes the grass seeds come together. And as the wind goes away, they are separated. So same way, because of our own different actions and reactions, we are all brought together. And in due course of time, we are separated. We think, oh, this is my father and mother. And then we go into a next life, there is a different set of father and mother. So, there are different type of karma. There is an individual karma and a collective karma. So, everybody is getting the reaction of their own karma. So, sometime people have done a similar type of activities where they are supposed to get similar type of reaction. So, Krishna brings them all together in one shot and a similar type of reaction done. For example, the accident. Right, a train accident or a plane accident or a big tsunami where many peoples are all destroyed. So they all get similar type of reaction because they have all done different activities, their own individual activity, but they deserve the same type of reaction. So Krishna says, okay, why to give individual, spend time individually giving reaction? Just bring all together and in one shot, done. But now in that situation also, everybody gets their share of result. For example, let's say a train accident happened. So in a train accident, somebody may be killed, somebody just gets injuries, and somebody just gets minor scratches. Right? Because they had to suffer the similar reaction, but the extent of the reaction is different. Somebody need to have a bigger reaction, the extent of misery is different. Somebody dies in that. Somebody just escaped by minor injuries. And somebody, so Krishna brings all them together and sometime does not deserve to be in that situation, that person is taken out from that situation. For example, earthquake is going to come here. And if somebody does not deserve it to be in that situation, that person just goes out of that place. Those situations also happen. I know last year or year before, there was a big earthquake in Nepal. You guys remember?
Yeah.
So one of my friend from here, from Detroit, one devotee, he was in Nepal that time. This day before of the big earthquake. Okay, he was in Nepal. He was visiting India, and from India he went to Nepal just to visit. And just day before of that, he came back. And next day morning, there was a big earthquake. So Krishna brings a person to that place where the calamity is going to happen, if that person deserves that type of reaction. But if somebody does not deserve that reaction, that is taken away from that situation. So he is saved from that. And even sometime a big earthquake or big tsunami, all these buildings are destroyed. But sometime they find somebody alive from under all that big destruction. Those situations also happen. Because that person deserved only that much reaction. So the whole karma principle or the whole arrangement of Krishna is so wonderful. It's not that somebody just gets whimsical reaction. It's happening based on our own whatever we deserve. It's not that we get the reaction of somebody else's account, somebody else's bank balance.
Recently one incident happened in India. One bus, Volvo bus went from Bangalore to Hyderabad. Around some 45 people were there. In that, when the bus was going, one of passenger's mother came and he stopped him to going in that bus. Okay, he get down and just went. In the middle of Hyderabad while going, suddenly there was fire in the bus and everyone was killed in that fire. But he only one survived to get down and mother stopped him.
Right, so yeah. That is an example, right? Yeah. It's a perfect example. So same way, there is a 9/11 happened. Right, we remember 9/11. So there are, I know personally, so many instances where the person was escaped from that instance. That person was not in the building. He works there. He works in that building. But something happened in that morning. He did not reach to his office on time. Somebody's alarm did not go on. Somebody's alarm did not work that morning. He did not wake up on time. He did not go there for work. Somebody got a cut. He had to stop and go to a pharmacy in the morning to get a bandage. And in all that, he got late, few minutes. And while he was late, all this event happened. So he was escaped from that. So these are the live examples. Right? Krishna brings people where they are supposed to get that reaction. And if somebody doesn't deserve to be in that situation, even though he belonged to that person, Krishna takes that away. He makes that person stay away from that situation. So some real life examples of karma. We already discussed some of this. So the family situation, sometimes person may say, oh, my son does not obey me, he does not follow my instructions, he does not listen, all that. Or sometimes the husband-wife relation may not be there. So Padma Puran actually describe many particular examples like that. Says if somebody was very indifferent to his spouse in the previous life, in this lifetime, his spouse may not behave properly. Right? If somebody did not pay attention to his wife or husband in the previous lifetime, this lifetime he may get that reaction. So another example given in Padma Puran is, if somebody took a lot of debt, he did not pay back that debt. So in the next life, the person from whom he took that debt, that person may be born as a child to that person, and he will make that person cry and take away all that money. It happens sometimes. Somebody's child, somebody's kids, they spoil all the property, right? They take away all the property. So these are the examples given in the Padma Puran also. Now just moving a little faster here. To understand the various sinful activities, we say every activity brings reaction. So what kind of the sinful activities, which are to be avoided, which so that we do not get a very severe sinful reaction. So in scriptures, there are four pillars of sinful life. or on the contrary, there are four principles of spiritual life. So there are four pillars of sinful life, which is illicit relation, meat eating, gambling and intoxication. These are the pillars of sinful life. If somebody is engaged in these activities, it's a sinful life. And on the contrary, if somebody avoids those, no illicit relation, no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, those become the pillar of spiritual life. So the scriptures define the different type of suffering which one goes through by being engaging in these activities. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, as I described earlier, Bhagavatam is the topmost Purana. Okay, Srimad Bhagavat, Bhagavat Purana, which is the ultimate compilation of Ved Vyas, the final compilation. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, last chapter, I believe 26th chapter, that describe the different type of hellish planets. Sometimes people ask this question, oh, we hear about hell. Is hell real? Is really there some place called hell? So Shukdev Goswami, who is the main Parikshit Maharaj, who is the main audience for Bhagavata, when Bhagavat was recited by Shukdev Goswami, he asked the same question to Parikshit Maharaj asked the same question to Shukdev Goswami. Where is this hellish planet? Is this hellish planet real? Is this within this universe? Or this hellish planet is within on this planet itself? There is some place on this planet itself which is called hell. Where is this hell? And what are the activities which go on this hellish planet? So Shukdev Goswami described 28 different type of hellish planets. And there are many, many thousands of hellish planets, but he described mainly 28 different hellish planets. And he described where the hellish planets are situated. So he said hellish planets are situated on the southeast corner, southern corner of this universe, between the Garbhodak Sagar and below the Bhumandal. Bhumandal is where the planet Earth is situated, the middle planetary system. So below the Bhumandal and above the Garbhodak Sagar, there are different hellish planets situated. So what kind of hellish planet and what kind of person go there and what kind of activities happen there or what kind of reaction happen there? So here, this wonderful picture illustrates four different type of activities. If somebody was too much attracted to intoxication, if somebody is engaged in whimsically drinking wine, considering, oh, I'm drinking somaras. Sometimes people say, oh, in Swarga, devatas drink somaras. What is the problem? I'm drinking. So if somebody is drinking wine, so there is a particular hellish planet, starts with name S, where the person is beaten with the whips and a hot molten iron is poured inside his mouth. So that is the kind of reaction. So there is a particular planet where person is taken by the Yamadutas, and Yamadutas are real, and Bhagavatam described at the death, if a person is sinful, particularly three Yamadutas come to receive that person and they take him to Yampuri, the place of Yamaraj, and the Yamaraj decides where this person is to be sent. Now all this is not mythology. Okay? It's as defined in the scriptures, which is given by God Himself. So the second type of sinful activity, if somebody engages in illicit relations, so there is another hellish planet, Kumbhapaka, where the person is taken. Again, the person is beaten with the whips. And the person is made to embrace a molten or the hot red iron form of the opposite gender. So a woman is made to embrace a male form which is a fire, hot fiery iron, and a male is made to embrace like that. So that is the kind of situation, and they are forced in that. And the body which is given to the living entity on these planets, it's called Yatana Sharir. It's not made of our like body, which is made of five material elements. It's a special body which is given to experience suffering. And the person, even though he is tortured like that, given so much of miseries, he does not die in that situation. He continue to experience those miserable situation. If somebody has killed a Brahmana or snatched somebody's property forcibly, that person is taken into, there is another hellish planet where the person is taken, and the hot iron rods are pierced in the body and the skin is ripped apart. See, if you see this third picture here. And there is another fourth picture. If somebody is whimsically engaged in, for the sake of his tongue, satisfaction of tongue and belly, killing animals and eating all this, so that person is taken to another hellish planet where the person is roasted alive into the hot burning oil. So that is a different kind of hellish planets. So scriptures define another different situations of action and reaction. If somebody is too much interested in eating flesh, animal flesh, so he gets the body of a beast. And okay, this is you want to do. Let me give you a suitable form. Take the form of a beast so you can enjoy here this activity. If somebody is interested in eating anything and everything without any discrimination, that person gets the form of a hog. Hog does not discriminate. It eats the stool and whatever available on the street. If somebody is too interested in sleeping, oversleeping, that person gets the form of a bear, some species which is sleeping for longer duration of time. There are different species which keep sleeping for months and months. If somebody is engaged in expose the body, we see all this. So the future of all the Bollywood, Hollywood stars, they are becoming the trees. It's not what I'm saying, this is what scriptures are telling. So if somebody is too much interested in exposing the body, their form is decided as become tree. Because trees are just standing naked there, summer or a winter, rain, ice, whatever it is, just stay there. So that is the form decided. So somebody may say, okay, if these are the four sinful activities, right? If these are the absolutely sinful activities, then how is it that certain religions, some things are allowed? Like some religions say, okay, it's okay to eat meat, okay to do these things. So why is it allowed? If this is all laws given by God, and God has created all these religions, why it's allowed in some religion and not allowed in another religion? Why there is a difference in the instructions? So the principle to understand, there is something called allowed and something called concession. So it's not that God has allowed these things to happen or allowed this activity to continue, but these activities are given as a concession. And there are particular rules and regulations to carry out. Even in the Vedic system, under certain provisions, the meat eating is allowed or as a concession. So it's not as a order that, oh yes, everybody should eat this thing. It's given as a concession. If somebody is too much interested in eating meat, so there is a concession given that, okay, under certain situations you can do this. And the purpose is to bring slowly bring people to a higher platform. For example, in Vedic system, there is a provision that, okay, you want to eat meat, you can eat the meat or the flesh of a lower animal like the goat or something. And that also, not that go buy from the store. If you want to eat meat, you can eat on a certain day, particular day, in a particular situation. So the situation is, if you want to eat meat, you can kill goat, but you have to kill by yourself. Not that you go to a butcher house and you buy the meat. So you can kill, take the goat, take it to the temple of Kali on the midnight of Amavasya, and you can chop the head of the god by yourself. And while, before chopping the head, before killing that goat, you should say this mantra in the ear of the goat, which is say Mamsaha. Mamsaha means I become you, you become me. So what is that? That In next life, I will take your position, you take my position, and you kill me. So this provision is given as a concession. Ultimately, if somebody keep doing that, he will come to his senses. Oh, what am I doing? I'm saying, Mamsa, you become me, I become you. So it means that I have to be slaughtered like this so many number of times. So better I stop doing this activity. So there are certain rules and regulations imposed. So person correct himself and he comes to the higher platform. And same way, somebody want to drink. Right? Somebody is interested in intoxication. There is a particular yajna that you do this yajna in this arrangement, and after completing that, you can drink this much amount. Again, what is the purpose? First, one has to follow all these restrictions, rules and regulation, finish that yajna successfully, and to complete that yajna, it takes so much effort, so much of expenses, and drink that much liquor after that, better I give up this. Right? So that is the ultimate purpose, to bring people to a higher platform. So it's not given as a allowed thing that, okay, it's freely you can keep doing this thing. It's given as a concession. We should not take it as a granted. It's not given as a granted that you do whimsically whatever you like to do. Now, another question comes. Most people ask this question. Okay, I understand this principle of karma. Maybe I was doing something wrong earlier, but now I understand. So, if whatever I have done under ignorance, will I be excused of that? See, I did so many things wrong, I did not know about that. So I should be excused. If somebody does out of ignorance, is that to be excused? Sometimes people say ignorance is bliss. Right? As long as you don't know, it's better keep doing under ignorance. There's no harm. But based on the law of karma, doesn't matter if somebody is doing ignorantly. Somebody has to get the result. The last time also I mentioned one story of Manduka Rishi and Vidura, right, Yamaraj. So another example, just a real life example. If somebody is trying to travel in a train, or just here, take the example here. If you are driving on the street, you came new to USA, you don't know the rules and regulation of traffic rules of America. You start driving a car, there is a stop sign or something and you cross that and the cop catch you and give you a ticket. Fine. Can you say, oh, I just came new to America, I did not know the rules, I was ignorant, please excuse me. What will cop say? Cop say rules are rules. Before you started driving, you should have learned the rules. It's your responsibility to know the rules. Now I'm giving you this ticket so that you will remember next time. Right? So you will know next time that, oh, I should not break this rule. So same way the law of God acts like that. Not knowing, not understanding these laws, these principles is not an excuse. Another example, somebody traveling in a train. In Bombay there's too much traffic on the local trains. Somebody comes new as a student to Bombay from a village, standing on a platform, waiting for the train to come. As the train comes, everybody rushes. The person is not able to get in the train. Second train comes, again too much traffic, people are just hanging. And this person is not able to get in. He notices relatively one compartment of the train is relatively empty. So he picks up his luggage, goes to that spot where this compartment comes and stops. So next time the train comes, he gets into that compartment. Now as he is traveling, the ticket collector comes. Ticket please. So he with proud gives the ticket. Yes, I have ticket. So he looks at the ticket, still gives him fine. No, you have to pay the fine. Why? I have the ticket. But you are carrying a second class ticket. This is a first class compartment. Right? So do you think all other people are fool who are traveling? They don't know. And you thought you are smart, you will get into this compartment. So the person will say, oh no, I was ignorant, I did not know what is second class and first class. So as you look outside, there is a difference, it's written here. There is a different color coding here, you should know. Now, if the person say, "Oh, I was ignorant, I did not know this," will the ticket collector excuse him? He'll say, "No, I'm giving you this ticket, so you pay this ticket so that you remember next time." So, excuse or the ignorance is not an excuse. So, whatever activities we have done, knowingly or unknowingly, we have to get the reaction. But if we submit our result to Krishna, then we have become free from those reactions. So we'll discuss that later. So ultimately, both karma and vikarma. Just I want to summarize this briefly in 2 minutes and end here. I don't know what's the time. So we'll discuss the principle of akarma maybe in some other session. So karma and vikarma. So karma or sukarma, right? Good activities or vikarma, bad activities. The result, both are binding. If somebody does good result, good activity, he has to get good reaction. If somebody does bad activity, he has to get bad reaction. But ultimately, he has to come back to get the result, get the reaction, either good or bad. It's not that somebody start maintaining a account book. Okay, I did 10 good activities, I'm noting down. I did 10 good. Now I will do 7 bad activities. So 10 minus 7, 3 balance. I should get the result of 3 good activities. So you cannot carry account book writing down your good and bad activity and thinking or they will cancel out each other. Sorry, but based on law of karma, it doesn't happen. If you did 10 good activities, you will get the result of the good activities. If you did some bad activities, you will get the result of bad activities. They do not nullify each other. They do not cancel out each other. So then, what should one do to get out of this good and bad business? Even if you do 100% good, you have to still come back within this material world to get the result of all those good activity. If somebody does a lot of charity, maybe in the next life he will be born in a situation where he is no lack of clothes or food. If somebody is donating a lot of clothes, next life he will not go naked. Right? He will not have any scarcity of clothes. If somebody does a lot of charity in terms of giving medicines and all that, next life maybe he will not get any disease. He will be very healthy. So, if somebody is doing all good activity, he has to still come back within this material world to get the result. And this material world is a place, even though we do not intentionally try to do anything wrong, but we are made to act in a situation where we get entangled. Because we are captured under the three ropes of the modes. And these modes are so powerful, they keep entangling us. So what is the solution? So the solution, the bottom line principle is if we turn all our activities into akarma. So there is karma, vikarma and akarma. Akarma means you do the activities but you do not get the reaction. So what is akarma? Akarma is any activity which is done as a surrender to Krishna, as an offering to Krishna, that activity becomes akarma. Even though you are eating same food, if you are cooking the food and eating, enjoying that food yourself, that is karma. That will give the reaction. Even though you are eating all vegetarian food, still the reaction is there. But if the same food you cook and offer it to Krishna, you are cooking that food for Krishna's pleasure and then eat that food, that same activity of cooking the food and eating that food, now it becomes akarma. It just does not bring any reaction. You work, but if you are working for your own maintenance, for your own enjoyment, that is binding. That brings reaction. But the same activity, you go to work, but now you are thinking, I am instrument of Krishna, I am maintaining this family. These are all Krishna's resources. I am using Krishna's strength, Krishna's intelligence, I am doing this activity. So the same work becomes a karma as an offering to Krishna. So, if we turn all our activities into akarma, that does not bring any reaction. So, the final conclusion which Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshishyami ma shucha. Krishna says, do not worry what you have done in past. Whatever good, bad, whatever you have done, do not worry. Surrender to me and I will burn up all the accumulated karma. It's like a big fire. Whatever amount of fuel you supply, it burns up everything. So whatever bank balance of good or bad karma you have, Krishna is giving assurance, I will take care of that. Do not worry, just surrender unto me. That's Krishna's assurance. So all we need to do is turn to Krishna, submit our activities to Krishna, and then get freedom from all this bondage. So we'll conclude here, we'll stop here. If anybody has any question, if I spoke anything wrong or too harsh, please forgive me. It's nothing, I am making up anything from my own. It's what is given in scriptures. Yes, any questions?
This karma is associated with the soul or...
Karma is associated with the soul or the body. Of course, it cannot be with the body. As we described, sometimes the living entity is getting the reaction based on the activities which has done in previous life. Right?
Yeah.
So the body is for this lifetime. So it's not for the body. Body is just like a hardware. Right? Whatever type of body one has got, one is acting on that platform. If somebody has got the body of a hog, he is acting like a hog. In the body of a hog, one cannot think, oh, let me enjoy halwa. Right? So he is acting based on that. And if somebody has got the body of a dog, he is bound to bark. So we are acting based on what type of instrument we have got. And the living entity, the soul, accompanied by the mind intelligence and false ego, it is going from one lifetime to another life, from one body to another. And it is carrying this whole bank balance of karma with it.
And this soul works according to mind or how? Because why it is not it's doing wrong things and getting suffered? Is it doing done by mind or is done by bad things by soul?
So, who is doing the bad thing? Is the soul doing the bad thing or who is doing the bad thing? That's your question, right?
Yeah.
So, soul, the soul is the original living entity,
yeah,
which has come from the spiritual world. Now, the spirit from the spiritual world, again, I will go back to the same example. In spiritual world, we have our spiritual form. But when we come to the material world, we need another uniform, another dress to stay within this material world. And we are given a material dress which is made up of 8 different material elements. And those are 5 gross material element and 3 subtle elements. Gross element is which body you can see, right? Made of earth, water, fire, air, ether. And the 3 subtle elements, mind, intelligence and false ego. So we have a material mind and an intelligence and our identification. So under the influence, these subtle entities go with the soul from one life to another life. So under the influence, this mind is making different arrangements under the influence of the 3 modes and under the jurisdiction of time. And it's engaging, or the soul is under the influence of mind, it's utilizing this subtle gross body to engage in different activities under the influence of wrong identification. Because we think, okay, I am this body. Now I am a rich person or I am a politician. So we get this wrong.
Soul is not a mistake. No? It is influenced by the mind. But mind is not going to the next one. The soul is going to the next.
No, mind is also going.
Along with that soul.
Right. The subtle body. Mind is part of the subtle body. Mind, intelligence and false ego, they go along with the soul to the next. So all the previous impressions which are stored in the mind. The mind is a storehouse of all the bad, good previous impressions. Right? So it's taking all those impressions. So at the previous time, in the previous session, I quoted another verse. As the air carries aroma based on the place it goes through. So the living entity carries the different conceptions of life. And where is those impressions stored? Those are stored in the mind. So all those previous impressions. So in this life, even though somebody does not have done anything with fire, but he is scared of fire. Why? Because there are some impressions stored in the mind. Maybe from the previous life. Maybe there was some incident happened in previous life. He had some big accident with fire or something. Those impressions are stored. So he has a phobia of fire. somebody has a phobia of height, somebody has a phobia of water. Not necessarily somebody has gone through that experience within this lifetime, but maybe something happened in the past lives and the impressions are stored. So does it answer your question?
Yeah, okay. And here one more question. If one rowdy kills one innocent guy.
If one?
One rowdy
bad guy
kills one innocent person. Is that innocent person is died because of his karma?
So that's the whole topic we discussed. In this lifetime, yes, this person may be seemingly innocent. He has not done anything wrong, right? From our understanding, I know this person from 10 years and I know this person is very good, but he got killed by some terrorist or something.
Yeah.
Why is that? This person has got the result of his past activity, which has come now. And this person, that the person who killed, he has become an instrument. He had the desire to engage in certain type of activity. And this person was to reap the result of his activities. Krishna brings them together. But this person who wanted to act in this way, he will get his reaction.
Oh, okay. I got the point. Because I wanted to ask the same question. Same thing Dhritarashtra has done to that bird. Because that bird has...
Right, so this whole chakra keep going on, right?
Yeah, okay.
So this person becomes the instrument to do this, but now this person, because he has done this activity, he has to suffer later.
Yeah.
Now, another question comes, which was in my mind, I don't know what. So this, sometimes we say, okay, this person got some disease or something. So can we label everything as, oh, he is reaping the result of his karma? And can we ignore? Can we just ignore any suffering? Can we just say, oh, this person is getting the result of his own action. What can I do? Let him suffer.
Sometimes.
Isn't it? Somebody lying on the street in a half-killed situation. Will you say, oh, he is suffering because of his own karma. What can I do? Let him suffer. Let me go to my home and sleep. So how do we balance this karma and all? So, the basic principle to understand here, there's two different things, karma and dharma. Okay? How we align them together or how we combine them together. When we talk about the principle of karma, it is for us to understand how I should act. If I act in a wrong way, I will get the reaction. And if I do something good way, I will get the good result. So, it's for us to correct ourselves, to watch our action. But not to just judge somebody that, oh, he has done something, so he should suffer the reaction. Somebody may be suffering the result of his own action. But we have to do our duty. We have to do our dharma. I will give one very simple example. If there is a theft in your home, okay, and you go to the police, and if the police knows Bhagavad Gita, and he tells you, what can we do? You are getting the result of your own karma. You were supposed to get the reaction, you got robbed. And this guy, and if the cop, the thief is caught and taken to the court, and the thief knows Bhagavad Gita and tells, see, you were supposed to get the result of your karma. What can I do? Why you are punishing me? You got the reaction.
No, they are working under law. No, they have to do their duty.
So, whatever action we have done, yes, we are getting the result. But that person need to do his duty. If the police says, oh, what can I do? You got the result of your own karma. But he has to do his duty, right? His duty is to catch the cop, catch the criminal, take it to the court and get him punished. So, same way, our duty is to help the person in that situation. We cannot just brush aside everything, oh, he is getting the result of his own karma. But our duty, what is our dharma that time? So we have to see our dharma. Our dharma is to help in that situation, whatever possible we can do. Maybe we have become as an instrument, right? Krishna is bringing us as an instrument to help that person. But if we fail in our dharma, then we will get the reaction. So there is another very, I just remember, today I was reading in same Bhagavatam, the third canto, fifth canto, last chapter, which is described different hellish condition. There is one situation, if a person is in a government official position, right? If somebody is a judge or a police officer or something, and if the person does not punish the actual criminal and somebody punishes the innocent person for not doing his duty properly, that person is taken to a particular hellish planet where they are given the punishment for not doing their duty properly. For giving the punishment to an innocent person or not giving the punishment to actual criminal. So, that answer your questions?
Yeah, okay. You said, knowingly or unknowingly, if you do something wrong, it's karma, you said. Okay? While driving car, we kill so many ants and all, so many things.
Good question.
And how it will affect?
So, when we say the intention or the non-intention, what activity you are doing without your, let's say now you are breathing, right? Yeah. When you are breathing with your breath, lot of microbes go inside and lot of microbes are killed. Yeah. So you will get the reaction of that, right? So you are eating the vegetables, the plants, for your maintenance, you will get the reaction of that. So same way, when you are going on the street, under your car, some mosquitoes, some bugs and all those are getting killed. So you will get the reaction because the space is shared by everybody. But now the same thing, so answer is yes. We are getting the reaction of all these things. So whatever is happening by default in our system, if it's functioning without your control, for that you do not get the reaction. But when you are controlling those, for example, now you are normally breathing. Right? So in that situation, whatever happening, you don't have any control on that. But now when you are doing the yoga, pranayama, you are controlling your breath. Now you are determining how fast you want to breathe or how slow you want to breathe, how many breaths you want to take. So when you are controlling that system, then you are bound with the reaction. But whatever body function is happening by default, you are not getting the reaction. So when you are driving, whatever, if something gets killed under your tire, yes, you are bound to get the reaction, even though you did not do intentionally. But if you are keep chanting, that will cure the problem. So while driving, keep chanting.
That means by chanting we can do
mistakes. So it's not that by chanting you can cure. So this is another topic. Okay, the offenses. Mm-hmm. While chanting the holy name. So if somebody chants the holy name with the intention of committing mistake and thinking, oh, I will do this crime and then I will chant holy name, I will chant the name of Krishna and it will nullify. So if somebody chants the holy name with that intention, that itself becomes an offense.
Yeah.
Okay? But by mistake, if something happened, holy name will protect. But not intentionally doing the mistake on the strength of chanting the holy name. So we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki
jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
So you can call the kids and have an Narsimha prayer.
Okay.
So sorry if you were expecting the session to be a little smaller. I wanted to finish this session, not leave it in between. So I know it's...